Hello and welcome to the Hellas Football Podcast. I'm your host Stephen, and Happy New Year. It's 2024. Same old Greek football. It's the gift that keeps on giving, as Michael always likes to say. Michael's not here at the moment, but Nick is. How are you, Nick?
Yeah, I'm good. Happy New Year. As you said, another year's rolled on, and this is where we're now entering that crunch period that we kept harping on about 6 months ago, about it being the biggest year in Greek football coming up, and we're just entering the beginning of it now.
Yep, four-way title race. Well, supposedly, maybe not now. We'll get into that in a bit.
Well, three fronts, title race, couple of clubs still in Europe, and the big one, trying to get the national team into a major tournament for the
Yep.
first time in.
Hopefully, all of those things are a success, and they don't crash and burn like they probably will. But we'll still be there watching. Right, we'll start with the Super League, Nick, as we always do. Asteras got a 3-2 win over Aris. Really impressive result from Asteras, by the way, because Aris were 2-0 up after 15 minutes, and Minidelos scored twice, just firstly just before half time, and then in the 50th minute, and then Munaflo scored in the 61st minute to make it 3-2 comeback. Aris couldn't respond, so really impressive from Asteras. They're playing some really good football, and we said that at the towards the end of 2023. So they're now I would, without jinxing them, because for some reason everything I say goes the opposite way afterwards. They're the favourites for sixth now, I'd say, of all the teams below Aris. I'd say they're the favourites, and they're the team to beat.
No, without a doubt, fair play to him, and another great win. As I said in last week's half season review of things, they've, in my eyes at least, they've flown under the radar. That you think about them, they were really, really good a few years back. Then they had a couple of leaner years after that. Now they're that team that they were as a few years back. All the power to them.
Next, we go to Lamia. Impressive win against Olympiacos, 1-0. It was Slivka who scored in the 4th minute through a poor defending from Olympiacos. Olympiacos had no response in the first half. It's one of the worst performances of the season, and it wouldn't. That's not the first time I've said that. Second half, we played a little bit better. Fran Navarro, who we'll get onto in a bit for in terms of transfers. A new signing made his debut coming off the bench for Stefan Jovetic. Didn't really make much of an impact, but that wasn't entirely his fault. It was embarrassing, Nick, to be quite honest. Lamia outshot us, and this is the first time we've lost. First time we've lost in the first match of the new year in a long time. And also, it's the first time we've lost to a team outside of the big four or five teams in a long time as well. So really, really unimpressive from Olympiacos. The players, their body language was poor. Granted, we had chances. Fortuna skied a penalty, but
The
he
penalty, yeah.
it turns out he probably had concussion and he had to go to hospital for a broken tooth after a collision with a player. Pep Biel has went off injured. He was also in hospital. We need to find out what happened with them. Fortuna should be okay, but it's Biel who might be out for a long term. Not that he's massively impacted the team in recent times. Might just be more impactful if we're trying to transfer him out of the club because he's linked to Torino. But yeah, I don't sound as pissed off as I was on the day, Nick. Thankfully, I had other things, nice things in the evening to distract myself. But yeah, it's a really disappointing performance from Olympiacos. And as pessimistic as I don't want to be, that takes us a massive hit from potentially like going for the title, because we're now, with other results, we're now 3 points behind AEK, we're 5 points behind you guys, Panathinaikos, and now we're 6 points behind Balk. And so we can't talk about, as an Olympiacos supporter, I don't think we can talk about the title now, because, and that sounds really early to say, not in the sense of like that should be what we're focusing on. The focus is to try and get the team playing good football and not be so disjointed, because it was disjointed. There was no continuity between defense, midfield, attack. And so, yeah, and this was not a result we needed going into a game against AEK and then 2 games against you guys. So, yeah, really disappointed.
With AFCON, you guys are going to have a couple out as well.
Well, that's what we said last time. El Kabi will be gone. He's already left for the Moroccan national team, if I'm
Oh, he's
not
already
mistaken. But
left. Okay.
because Navarro has
Okay.
come in so quickly, which, give credit to
Oh.
Olympiacos with transfers, but they've responded quite early. That's not the problem. And Madi Camara, he wasn't picked by his national team. He wasn't picked, so
Okay.
he's staying. But that's speaking of Madi, a lot of news came out yesterday that some
Oh, I
website
read
had
it.
said,
Yeah.
he said that he didn't want to be at the club. He was, this and that. But he came out pretty quickly and completely diffused the situation and said that's not true. This website is misquoting me. And the website afterwards removed that article that they had posted as well. So there's a, but and even despite that, there's a little bit of ill feeling between him in particular from some of the fans that I've been seeing. They don't really want him to play for the club anymore because he's come back from Roma. He came back from Roma on loan and just didn't perform well there and never, he started well, but never looked like he wants to be part of the team after a while. And I can see why. Like, he's got 6 months on his contract. He can sign a pre-contract with anyone he wants now. Lyon,
Yeah.
Olympique Lyonnais are linked in from France. So yeah, poor performance, Nick. Any one or
Tough
two
place.
thoughts for your
Tough
rivals?
place. More on them. It's a tough place. We went there and we got a win, but we had to fight so hard to get that win. It's always tough going there. I said to George last week, it wouldn't shock me if they hover around that seventh, eighth. They just miss out on the sixth, and they're a good side this season. Again, full credit to them, like Asteras. As for you guys, yes and no. As I said before, with the title race, in theory, 6 points, it's nothing. It can be caught up very quickly. But the flip side of that is what you were saying. There are worrying signs.
Yep, and like you said, full credit to Lamia. They didn't even have Carlitos in their team for that game, and then they played really well. They won every ball, first every tackle. Their counters look more dangerous than ours. And one of the only players that from our side that comes out with any credibility is Baskalakis, because he was had a good performance despite conceding. Hopefully we rally against AEK, which is our next game. But we're in an empty Karaiskaki, but let's see. We'll get to that when we get to
That's
that.
right. It's a home game. Yeah, we'll get. Yeah, we'll leave your signings as well. We'll get to your signings later.
Of course. Speaking of AEK, they comfortably beat Volos 3-0 at Hagia Sophia. Levi Garcia scored brace, and Nordin Amrabat scored in the 73rd minute. Good, comfortable win for AEK there. And that, as I said before, that takes them to third place ahead of Olympiacos definitively. So good result for them. Any thoughts on that one, Nick?
When they get going, especially when they score like this, home and away is next as good as irrelevant now with no fans at stadiums. But when they get going and when they score early ish in games, they're so hard to stop still this season. And that's what happened here. One-way traffic. As comfortable as it could have been, really.
Yeah, the Volos didn't really threaten them. They're kind of still sort of trying to get themselves out of the relegation conversation. They probably have ish, but they have to be careful. They still have to be careful. It's not out of the woods yet, especially with the playouts to come. Next, Balk decimated Offi 4-0. Despodov scored in the 39th minute. Baba Rahman, 41st minute. Marcus Antonio in the 89th minute, and then Brandon in added time to make it 4-0. To be fair to Offie, they had seven shots. It's not as if they were completely peppered by Balk and weren't allowed to play, but Balk just took their chances better, I guess. I haven't seen the game.
No, that's exactly that. But initially, there was half an hour had gone. You think nil all, maybe drop points. They're going to struggle a bit. But like Ike, once they got the first game over, like our game as well. Once the first went in, forget it. They're again. We've harped on about them. We can't give them any more credit really than what we already have. They're flying.
Yeah,
They're
I'll just
flying.
wax lyric. I will wax lyrical about their promotion of Greek players and good football and me being in Europe and looking good and yeah,
The
et cetera, et
only
cetera.
thing, and it's not even really bulk related, it's
Sure.
Lucescu Senior, the father of Razvan Lucescu, who's also a well-known coach in his days as well, came out and said that his son won't lose a single derby this season to Terim. Oh, just remember those words.
Interesting. Very, that's some big
Yeah,
words
I'll
from his
remember
dad.
those
Big
words.
words.
Yeah. Well, guaranteed to definitely meet a minimum of three more times this season, but we'll see about that.
Yeah, and there's the cup that could still come as well. So it might
Yeah.
even be four or five times you have to
Yeah.
play them. Speaking of your team, Nigor, a comfortable win, would you say, against Bastianina?
Yeah.
Ioannidis in the
No, very.
25th minute. Vilhena, who you said about Vilhena, who's not really worked out as well as you guys thought initially, but good goal from him, I guess. And just before after the second half started. So yeah, good win for Panathinaikos, and that keeps you within touching distance of first.
Sensational finishes, but both 40 scoring our first goal for the calendar year, and Vilhena's finish was even better. Bert scoring his first goal for the club on his birthday, really good finish. The ball fell to him from a corner, and he really tucked it away nicely. He celebrated it as well. As I said, I can't keep praising 40 enough. He won our Player of the Year award for December. For Vilhena, he's maybe arguably his best performance for us this season, even if you take the goal out. Terim made he's made subtle changes, I'd call it. He switched sides with Vilhena. Maybe that's the key to getting the best out of him. Just subtle tweaks that we saw in this game where Vilhena switched from left to right. Then we had the wingers were Mancini on the left, Aitor on the right, again, inverted wingers. That's a staple in Terim's style. And we had the fullbacks so high up the pitch, they were essentially playing as wingers. So you had the fullbacks in this game as wingers, and you had the wingers as attacking mids, as number 10s, basically. It's what he said. He wants all-out attack. It's what we got, basically. We, for the first 60 minutes, I haven't seen us like that. We were like terriers, pressing them relentlessly, which is a big feature of Terim's game. We're either tired or we just slackened off. We sort of stopped playing after the 60, 70th minute mark. Not that we allowed Bas back into it, because when we got the second, it was well and truly game over. They had a couple of chances. They forced Brignoli into a couple of decent saves late on, like 85th minute onwards, basically. Interesting, he started Brignoli in this one. For me, there might have been some conjecture there, but he started Brignoli. As I said, his big thing is attack. We saw that. He, especially playing at against these weaker sides at home, he wants to foot on the throat and just be relentless. But in any game, basically, and there was a couple of interesting things I picked up on after the game, where in his press conference, where he said he doesn't care basically if our defense concedes X amount of chances to the opposition as long as we create more. So that's an insight into his coaching philosophies and what we can expect to see for the rest of this season. He also made a name check, Fike, in this game, in this press conference, sorry. A lot of us were mentioning him when we had our centre back crisis. We've had it for a while now, but he did well in the preseason friendlies. Ante Jovanovic never got a look in. Didn't come on in this game, but interesting to point out that Terim in his press conference said that he was potentially tossing up to bring him on in left back, just to get him some minutes. So one to keep an eye on moving forward, I guess.
Okay.
For us, yeah, on to Panathinaikos, which we'll get onto, because it's a big round, the next one for us, even though we haven't got a derby.
Yes, because Panathinaikos got a 3-2 win over Bansaraygos. Again, end-to-end fixture in this one. But it was actually Bansaraygos who opened the scoring in the 15th minute, and then Pedro Silva Terion scored a hat trick for Panathinaikos, so really impressive for him. 35th, 64th, and 84th minute, respectively. To be fair to Bansaraygos, they did equalise before Terion completed his hat trick in the 71st minute with a penalty. But yeah, Panathinaikos got an impressive win against a team that, you know what, they've actually leapfrogged them on goal difference, if I'm not mistaken
Yeah,
now. But
then I think they have.
Bansaraygos,
They've dropped off a bit.
all of a sudden, they're third from bottom. So after a really good start to the season, and me especially lauding them playing nice football for a promoted team, they have
No,
to
they've
be
dropped
really
off.
careful now. Yeah, they've dropped off
Yeah.
a little bit. They've not won in a while, and credit to Panathinaikos, they haven't lost in four, two wins, two draws. So it's an impressive win for them. And the last round is Adromitos versus Kifishia in the Athens derby. And if you can call that a derby, I'm just trying
Very
to find
steady versus yeah.
yeah, exactly. 3-0 win for Adromitos against Kifishia. Juinta scored in the 8th minute. Gwen scored in the 56th minute, and Nikos Vergos scored in the 78th minute to make a very comprehensive win for Adromitos there. Still really impressive under Ilic. It's amazing the turnaround that they've had, considering how bad they were at the start of the season. It's like, it's full credit. Not for me to compare your team in the Premier League with Aston Villa with Adromitos, Nick, but not in the sense of quality by any means, but certainly in terms of a manager that couldn't get the best out of his team in Chris Coleman, and Adromitos looked certain to finish at least bottom two under him. And then Ilic comes in, and all of a sudden, with the same parts, more or less, he's transformed this team to pretty much what Adromitos probably should be, like a tough nut,
Yeah.
like mid-table, Oxford
Mid-table
mid-table
pushing for the
team.
seat. Yeah. Yeah,
So,
no, exactly. Let's see how long they can keep doing this. Is it a new manager bounce? That's the only thing. But
yeah.
again, they're fine. And it's Kifishia now, in my eyes. We said it last week. If we're to pick one to definitely go down, so far it's them. Then we'll see for the other.
No, and so it's nice to see Adromitos improve, although I know some people aren't a bigger fans of Adromitos, especially with all the Athenian clubs we have in our league. But that's all the games, that's all the results for the first round of 2024. So we go to the table. Balk, top of the table, 38 points. Panathinaikos just behind them on 37. AEK on 35. Olympiakos, fourth on 32. Aris, fifth on 24. Asteras, sixth on 23. Lamia on 20 points. Adromitos on 19. Ofi on 15. Panathinaikos on 14. As are Volos and Panathinaikos, all on 14 points. Second bottom, Kifishia on 11 points. And Bas Yanina, now definitively bottom of the table, on 9 points. So one win all season for Bas Yanina. Yeah, they look like they're on free fall. They have to have to keep up the pace going into the playouts for them. So next we'll go to the upcoming fixtures, Nick. So as you said before the recording, I think you might have said it during the recording too. Couple of derbies this weekend, but we'll start with the games that are, that happened a bit earlier in the day. So Volos host Adromitos, Bansaraygos host Kifishia. Panathinaikos host Panathinaikos, Bas Yanina host Asteras, Aris host Balk in the Thessaloniki derby, and Olympiakos host AEK Aya Sofia. And after that, oh no, and then on Monday, Ofi hosts Lamia. Big
Then it's
games.
Greek Cup, literally right after that, a couple of days after that.
Yeah, it is. And then we'll be playing you
It's all
guys.
happening.
It
Yeah, it's
is.
all happening. Obviously, there's two big games to keep an eye out on here. For me, the interesting one's going to be up in Thessaloniki. What happens with Paok and Aris? Aris had their disappointing loss to Asteras. Asteras, if they win their game, the way Paok are going, Aris, it's going to be hard for Aris. Anything can happen in a derby, of course, but let's say Asteras win and Aris lose. Aris all of a sudden is in sixth and Asteras in fifth. Like
Yeah.
that's remarkable from Asteras. They really come from nowhere. But we'll see. As I said, anything can happen in a derby. Aris, from memory, I think they took points off Bale in the reverse fixture already this season. It ended in a draw, from memory.
Yes, it did. Yeah.
Yeah.
In
Then
Dumba.
then for you guys, just to see what sort of reaction there is.
Well, there needs to be a reaction from Olympiakos,
Yeah.
but that's the problem. When we played them at Hagia Sophia under Diego Martinez, yes, it wasn't a stellar performance from us, but at the time it felt like, well, this Olympiakos team is building. We just started with the new manager. A draw was credible. We'd missed a couple of chances. Ike missed a couple of chances. So the draw was fair overall for both teams. Whereas we're in a very different situation now where the club is just starting to kind of make statements of like, we need to bring transfers in, this, that, and the other. I'm like, yeah, but transfers are good. We do need some upgrades in certain positions, but you need to change how you run the club too. Because I as pleased as I am to see the top of the table much more competitive, again with an asterisk of I also like Olympiakos winning the league. Olympiacos is starting to fall behind the other three teams in terms of how the clubs are run and in terms of the continuity of having the managers and the players that are there to kind of actually play for the team. And so
We're a
that's.
bit of a question mark to that now.
You are, but at the same time, like you've brought in a manager that's got an instant positive reaction. I mean, to be fair, when Carvajal came
One
in,
game at
one
home
game, I
against
know.
Bottom.
Yeah, I know, I
We'll
know.
see. I
We'll
mean,
see.
there were great signs in that, of course, but we'll see. But you're right. The sentiment's right. I get what you're saying. I mean, I said one of our last episodes of 2023. It's like, you know that the other three is Panathinaikos under Jovanovic, said identity. Balk under Lucescu, said identity. Ike under Almeida, said identity. Olympiacos don't have that. I see what you're
No,
saying.
and there needs to be that identity given, like either and now with Diego Martinez long gone, who a lot of fans still don't think should have left in the first place, probably myself included. Now
Yeah,
we either
I'm
need
bummed
to
probably in that.
give Carvajal the time to fully implement the team, whether that means we finish fourth, which would be the first time we finish fourth in a long time. Or we sack him after he could Nick, he could genuinely get sacked if he loses this game against AEK and then gets knocked out of the cup by you guys. He could be gone by February, and I wouldn't be surprised. But then who else? Who do we bring in? Do we bring in Dagi Slemonis for a millionth time? Is it,
Then you
or
start looking inwards and really looking at the real problems.
yeah, exactly. But that's the thing. That's what they should have been doing last season, and they haven't done that. We have a late entry into the, well, not a late entry, a semi mid entry into the podcast is Michael is here, ready to give his thoughts on his favorite gift that keeps on giving. Michael, how are you?
I'm good, Steve. And Nico, how are you?
Chronia Pola.
Oh, yeah. Kali Chronia. Yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah, I forgot. It's 2024. And yeah, same thing as always. Greek football, the gift that keeps on giving.
Yep.
That's it.
We've just gone through the Super League results, Michael, and just touched on the games that to come as well, and the Greek Cup too. Is there any quick thoughts you want to give on the results slash the games that are to come?
Bravo Lamia. I'm not trying to, downplay Olympiacos. They've got their own problems, but I have previously pointed out with their coach, Vokalos. I have said he is one of the more underrated coaches around, and I think he's one that needs a that deserves a step up.
Yeah,
We saw what he did
I
at
want
Banyonios a few years back.
him.
Just unfortunate how things ended there. Look, he's just the coach to keep an eye on. He's done good things at Lamia this season. I just hope they keep this up. So that is a brilliant result for them. As for Olympiacos, I can say this. What is your identity?
That's what Nick
Is it
said.
Greek?
We literally
What
just
is your
said that.
identity? Yeah, what is your identity? Is it Piraeus or Portugal?
Both.
Seriously. Yeah.
Both.
What is it? Plus, you have a coach that is literally the Portuguese Babis Tennis. Like, seriously, it's the split image of Babis Tennis. And look at how many clubs he's coached in his career. This Carlos Carvalhal guy. It literally emulates Babis Tennis's career. That's who you've hired, Steve. Like, no joke. This is his Olympiacos is his 22nd club, and it's also his second club in Greece. What was
Yep.
his first?
Asteras.
Asteras. He did shit there. That
Well,
says enough, Steve.
this is the frustrating thing though, Michael. I don't want to keep waxing lyrical about Olympiacos because we do have transfers to get to, but it's disappointing because the first game against Bakatopola, granted it's Bakatopola, we scored five goals against them and we looked really exciting. So I thought, oh, okay, like we're playing nice football. Like we're actually decisively beating this team. And then afterwards, we've now had three games where we haven't scored a goal in open play. We've scored a penalty, and that was El Arabi who scored that penalty, who's now not available through injury. And we haven't, and we, Lamia, again, it's full credit to them. They outshot us, and that's worrying. for Olympiacos, that shouldn't happen. But credit to Lamia for doing that. And now we play, and as I said to Nick, we play AEK now in the league. And we played Panathinaikos twice. He could be gone by February, early Feb. He could be gone.
Yep. And I'll also give credit to Asteras. This is the football that we saw, that we once saw a few years back with him under Rastavac. Again, the same coach, Milan Rastavac. Can't go wrong with him. They found their groove again, and it's nice to see. And they're only 1 point off Aris, so that is a huge result for them too. Atromitos the same. They are undefeated under Saša Ilić. I eat my own words when they first appointed him. I thought he would do crap. But hey, he's undefeated with Atromitos, so good on him there. Kifisia, they made the wrong appointment. They shouldn't have sacked Anastasiou. That's all I can say about them. Who else? Balk, what more can you say? 4-0 win, very convincing. As for Orfi, Pepe Mel, as we've said, the wrong appointment too. They shouldn't have sacked Dambrauskas. And I'm already hearing rumors, I don't know how true they are, but Orfi are not very happy with Pepe Mel. They want him to change things around. Volos, on the other hand, the Volos coach Lopez says that they played well. Yeah, okay. He has an argument there, but you conceded 3 goals. And you lost convincingly. And then Volos comes out with a statement saying, oh, it was match fixing. The referee fixed the result. Hang on, you lost 3-0. Settle down. You're not a top club.
Listen.
Yeah.
We don't need to talk about Volos and games where a team who could convincingly beat them had 2 clear offside goals given against them. I'm not calling for corruption, but that was just poor officiating for sure. I'm not going to go back into that Olympiacos game. You know what? Yeah. Before we go into transfers, we will actually talk about the Greek Cup, because why not? It's the round of 16 first leg fixtures that are coming up, so we'll give them a quick look. So AEK will host Aris, but as we said, Panathinaikos host Olympiacos in the first leg of that tie. Next, so half of the fixtures have already been half the round of 16 fixtures have already been played back in December. So Panathinaikos host Asteras, being 2-0 up on aggregate against Asteras as it stands. Volos host Balk, with Balk 1-0 up on aggregate. Adromitos host your team AEL, Michael, 1-1 on aggregate. So pretty impressed from you guys to still be level on in the going into the second leg.
Steve, I watched that first leg. We should have won that. Yeah, that's all I can say.
Michael, you guys, I think you might have said it last time you were on. I just had a look at the ladder the other day. You guys are in the North group. You're first now.
Yeah. But we are first.
Equal on points from memory with Levadiakos.
Equal on points now. That few episodes ago, we were 6 points behind Levadiakos, and that's where they sacked Neopolis. Yep.
There you go. There's some Super League 2 chat for you. And now we move on to the next Greek Cup fixture. Galithia hosts Panathinaikos, with Panathinaikos 3-2 up on aggregate. Kifisia hosts Ofi, with Ofi 3-1 up on aggregate. And then the next round of fixtures will be... the next round of fixtures will be obviously Aris playing the reverse fixture against AEK on the 17th of Jan, Olympiacos, Panathinaikos on the same day, and then Niki Volos hosting Levadiakos, who are 1-1 level on aggregate with each other. So that's those are the round Greek Cup rounds for next week, but also the week after too. So there we go. We'll cover those when they're played. So now, guys, it's transfer season. Michael, you're the Greek Fabrizio Romano. You've been on the phone trying to get all the players to come to, like, get the latest scoop on all the players coming to Greece and all the players leaving. But I guess the biggest ones at the moment are Fran Navarro, as I mentioned, who came on and made his debut for Olympiacos against Lamia, on loan from Porto, option to buy of 7.5 million, if I'm not mistaken. So unlikely we'll actually activate that, because Olympiacos don't normally spend that kind of money, but possible. I think he's a good signing for us personally. With regards to his record, excluding his time at Porto for 6 months, he looked like he is a consistent goal scorer. And with El Kabi at AFCON, I think he'll be fine.
Yep.
Once we can actually start creating chances.
It's a smart signing, Steve, and given the fact that Jovetic last scored back in September. And then you got El Kabi representing Morocco and AFCON, but then El Arabi is not. So you needed some depth there. So it's a smart signing.
Mm. Now, this is the
As
signing
for your second one,
I was going to say,
get to it.
Yep, this signing, Nick and I have differing opinions on. And to be fair, but for Michael's opinion is more than fair. So Olympiacos signed Portuguese winger Gelson Martins from Monaco. I think the fee ended up being 3 million euros.
$3 million.
Yeah.
I might be speaking verbatim, Michael. You described him as the next Henry Onyekuru, wasn't it, for us?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. I'm not the only one to say it.
No, of course.
I'll give him a shout out here. He's a Panathinaikos fan, Alki. Yeah.
Not yet.
Alki. I think he's on your podcast, Nico. He's another one
that's part of our American crew. Yeah.
Yes, he's another one that said he's the next Onyekuru, and he's going to turn out exactly like that. He's one of those guys that was young and promising.
I remember.
As he was at Sporting. Man, he had I think he was part of that Euro squad that Portugal won. I could be wrong, but yes, he was young and promising. Then he got that move to Atletico, and that's where it went all downhill. And then he started consistently for them, and Atletico started to see he wasn't showing his true qualities as he was showing at Sporting. And that's where they shipped him off after 6 months to Monaco, and Monaco permanently signed him for 30 million euros, I believe.
Mm.
And yeah, he had a couple good seasons, but then started to come out of favor. He fell off the grid after a couple seasons. And it really, really, he fell off the grid. He was just nowhere to be seen last season. 15 games altogether, 496 minutes. His last professional game was back in February last year. So that's 11 months. And you guys pick him up. That is a sign of concern. Because yet again, he's Portuguese. You've gone after this Portuguese project again. It succeeded with Pedro Martins. It's not going to succeed now with Carlos Carvalhal. I can tell you that for a fact right now. It's not going to work. And that's exactly what's happening here. Yes, you've signed him for depth. I get it. Totally understand. But you need someone more productive than Gelson Martins. He's not that guy anymore.
For Greek standards, for depth. Oh, I agree with what you said. It is depth. He's not. I don't rate the signing one bit at all. Like Navarro, for example, phenomenal signing. That's an absolutely brilliant signing. This one, on the other hand, yeah, as you said, Michael, not a fan. I sort of, in my mind, compare it to we get Limios for free, who's low risk, whose depth is essentially like this guy, but this guy's
you're essentially paying nothing for him. The thing is, nothing you're essentially paying exactly. nothing for him, Nico. So,
that's
but still,
difference.
That is another exactly. risk. That's another risk in itself, because we don't know how fit Limnios is.
Patience. He signed a 3.5-year deal.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess that's another point to put across. The thing with Martins is, yes, he's a silky player, can go on one-on-ones, but he's not that same guy that was at Sporting years ago. There's a reason why Atletico shipped him off as soon as they could, because he wasn't that player that they signed. And they shipped him off to Monaco. Yeah, he did well in France. Then he fell off the grid. That's his story.
When the going gets tough, Rami said that, yeah.
Yeah. He's another one. He's one of those what could have beens. And he's only 28. Only 28.
I guess.
Now, your other one, Steve, well, it failed the transfer. Well, they couldn't reach a deal. That David Carmel, that was not going to happen. No way. Did you see how much Porto signed him from Braga in the summer?
It's the most expensive domestic transfer for two Portuguese sides, wasn't it?
Yes, like 25 million euros.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
Well,
look, be glad it didn't happen because of the demands of Porto. 1 million loan fee plus a 15 million buyout. That is insane. There's no way it was going to happen.
Portuguese
and
we're clubs.
Hearing reports. We're hearing it's going to happen. That a deal is close. I'm going to call out one journalist. That's Koryanopoulos from Sport Time. Yeah, he's saying deal's close. Oh, yeah. Look, did he lay out the figures? I haven't seen him yet lay out the figures. He's the only. The last thing he tweeted about that was a deal's close. Ah,
these journalists thought, Michael, they put stuff out there. They most times they get things wrong more than right, more often than not. You look at it a week ago, everyone was saying Bacacetas, Panathinaikos. Now all of a sudden it's Besiktas that's going to get him.
Yeah.
I know.
So I guess just first on Gelson Martins. What Olympiacos has done, if I was to try and find a positive to this transfer, is because I was very excited, even though I when we first kind of announced him, maybe to the betterment of my opinions, but I think we've always had a good record of getting these kind of players who maybe didn't hit the heights of what they supposedly were meant to, and come to the club and improve and have a good time, like generally a good period at the club. And it's not like he's going there to instantly be guaranteed being the main man. He does have to work to get into that squad. Yes, Podence is a bit hot cold at the moment, and he has to compete with Masuras as well, but that's exactly it. He has two players in front of him right now, whether they're in form or not. So he does have to work to get into that team and prove to Carvajal that he's should be part of that Olympiacos squad. And I get the concerns from Michael with his recent kind of how he has been recently, but yeah, I think on paper he seems excited. For me, I'm kind of excited just to see how he does. But at the end of the day, if he fails, then you know he's going to be gone in 6 months, because that's what Olympiacos is a revolving door at the moment. So hopefully he does work out, but let's see.
No doubt he'll be loaned out to Turkey in 6 months.
Yeah, or the Saudis will pick him up or something, and he'll get paid a buttload to go there if he wants to go to Saudi Arabia.
Yep.
So yeah, it's disappointing. I'm excited, but I can also see very, very much see the flaws in this transfer. But I'm just a sucker for like the transfer market, but. Yeah, let's see. Olympiacos are also trying to sign a number six and another centre back, another couple centre backs as it sounds at the moment. And what I would say about the Portuguese market, Michael, is that we even under Pedro Martins, it was so hard to get Portuguese players or players from the Portuguese league because they're such hard to they're so hard to negotiate with. We were lucky to even get Navarro, and we're not going to be able to sign him permanently. I'd be surprised if we do, but. Yeah, we were lucky just to get him on loan, quite frankly.
It's option, Steve.
Option, not obligation. I don't think the club would go with an obligation. Speaking of wingers, Fedvatsidis, Yanis Fedvatsidis, the Greek Lionel Messi, as he was once prophesied to be, has returned from Cyprus. He was at Apoel, couldn't get into the team, apparently. I'm sure he had a nice time in Cyprus, though everyone does. But he has returned to Aris in Thessaloniki, rejoined them after how many years now? It's been two, three seasons since he...
Three years.
Yeah.
Three years. His third time there or second? It might be second.
Second time.
Second. Okay.
Guys, what's
on
this one?
Yes.
I like it.
Yes and no. Now... The reason why I say yes, they need someone like him. He's been missing. When they sold Fefadzidis, they've never really I guess they did replace him with Luis Palma. And then when they lost Palma, they didn't really replace Luis Palma. I'm not saying Fefadzidis is his replacement. I'm saying he's more someone that they player. Need at the moment to provide a spark. And that's exactly what they need. And that's because of the absence of Manu Garcia, who's out with an ACL. And he's only days away from returning from injury. So they needed someone with that spark. And that's Fefadzidis. Second point, mentor. To that youngster, Michalis Panagidis.
Yeah,
he's getting first team minutes now. That is something fresh that we're seeing from Aris. It's not like them all these years, but they're giving a young kid like Panagidis first team minutes, and I don't mean first team minutes. He's starting in the first team, so I see him as a mentor to Panagidis. So I hope that goes well. And then downside is Fefazidis' age. An 18-month deal. Yeah, that's fair enough. But then again, it's his age, 33. It depends how they utilize him. So will they? I hope they don't kill him off starting him every game. So at least, space him out a bit. Try and, pair him up with Panagidis as much as they can. Got to have that little bit of grit core going.
Yeah.
That's one side of it.
And like we said, Michael, that's something we have heavily criticized Aris, unlike their rivals Balk, for not doing. And all of a sudden, Panagidis, who, as we keep saying, scored for the under, I think it was the under 21s he scored for, wasn't it? Or the under 19s?
Yes.
Yeah.
Under 21s, I think.
Yeah, against Portugal, he's having a really nice start to his professional career. And I hope that he progresses from here, because he looks like a decent little player. And Aris haven't even been able to give Greek senior players opportunities in recent times, let alone youth players. So it's good to see him in the team. And it's what more Greek clubs need to do. It's as simple as that, especially the big boys, excluding Balk.
Aris also signed Lindsay Rose.
Yes, re-signed for the club.
So he re-signed for the club. Get this, though. So they brought back Fefadzidis. They brought back Rose. In the summer, they brought back Velez. And they brought back Velizizis. They brought back Manzios. Look at that.
They're getting the band back together. They're doing it. They're getting, the band
back together. Now they're missing. Who they're missing? Lucas Sasha.
He's playing in Brazil somewhere. Good little player, Lucas Sasha, actually.
Yeah, that's who they need to bring back. And we'll have that, I'd say, golden team, that modern golden team of artists that finished third, I believe. Mm. What was it? Like, during COVID, they finished third under Manzios. That was the team.
Yeah.
That was the team. We were praising Manzios a lot, saying what he's doing there was great. All these players are just combining well. He got the mentality together. They had a mentality going. That's something good going. And then the season after is where it all collapsed and they gave him the boot and all these players left.
Well,
you know what? Do we see it happening again?
Well, you know what, Michael? I've just looked up Lucas Sasha. He's currently at a Brazilian side, Fortaleza, and has only played twice. So if Aris want to give him minutes, bring him back. You might as well.
Yeah. I don't see why not. If they're signing back all these players that were under Manzios, then go for it.
Yeah, they were a tricky little team under Manzios the first time round with all those players, and they sold all of them, and then they started to go downhill, and that's why Manzios got sacked. Any other transfers, Greek Fabrizio? Anything that we've missed?
Kipisha have signed Facundo Saloa. What a name. I don't know who he is. He's coming from Atletico Rafaela, a second division team in Argentina. He's coming on loan, apparently. Filling a midfield gap there. I don't know what's going on. Gifishia. Yeah, I don't know. That the moment they sacked Anastasio, they just lost the plot. That's all I can say. Asteras, they've signed the Belarus national team captain, Yablonski. Last played for the Cypriot champions, Aris Limassol. Yeah, ever since he left Aris Limassol, he's not been capped by Belarus since then. So this is a move that will probably that revives his career. But yeah, that's something doing the rounds. Why don't we get to Panathinaikos and Limnios?
Yes. Yeah.
We've spoken about
He's back. No, we haven't actually spoken about that, even though you just mentioned it. Yeah, he's back. After a few years away, had a lot of injury problems. And the sad thing about Limnios, he started to look good at Köln as well in Germany, but just he couldn't quite do it there, I guess, after the injuries. And so they let him go to and he's back in Greece with Panathinaikos. Instead of Balk, which is a surprise. We all just assumed he'd return to Balk if he was to go anywhere. But
yeah,
he had a good stint at FC Twente as well. I'm looking now.
That was a successful stint. And I would have hoped after that he would have been getting, you know, a sniff at some minutes at Köln, but it never happened. Then that ACL, it just made things worse.
He was killing it before that. Remember that conference, not conference league, the Nations League, when Boyer first took over, he was absolutely killing it. It's like ever since he got that ACL, we've really lacked that spark on the wings for the Ethniki. So I'm hoping we get that sort of player. As I said before, with time, he signed a 3.5 year deal. In saying that, we've got a lot of games in January coming up. He's recovered from his injury. He's had his first training session. I don't think we'll see him in the squad anytime soon within the next couple of games, but it wouldn't shock me if he's on the bench and getting minutes by the end of the month.
Yeah.
It's what you'd hope for. And so nice to have him back in Greece. That they some of them always come back eventually, but it's I think Panathinaikos is a good club for him to be at. As you said, Nick, it's good depth for you. It's low risk in the sense of it's a free transfer. Although, I mean, if you want to fork out 3 million on a very pacey Portuguese winger, you can do that too. Olympiacos did it.
we don't fork out 1 million. Sporar at 2.5 million is probably a club record.
Yeah, I don't
Unless
even know what
maybe
your Cisse club
still is back
is
then.
It must be still Cisse, surely.
Yeah,
surely. I think that's everything for transfers now, but we'll keep updating for any major ones that happen. And Michael, you're always on it. You know the first. Yeah. You know before anyone else, really.
Oh, look, I'm hearing that right back in Italy, Panos Katsiris, plays for Catanzaro. Apparently, he's on the verge of joining Monza. But once he joins Monza, he'll return to Catanzaro on loan for the rest of the season. That's apparently going to be a 2.5 million euro move.
Really?
Yeah. Monza apparently sees a lot of potential in the boy.
Sure.
He's just come out of the blue, this guy. No one's heard of him before, this stint with Catanzaro. Like, I think it's his first season in Serie B and he's killing it. And all the top clubs in Serie A want him.
That's good.
But good on him if this happens. So another right back is what we need. And I think he's 22. Damn good age. And speaking of right backs, Liradzis, I'm hearing he's off to Asteras on loan.
Interesting.
I mean, considering how they're playing right now, he might get some minutes there. You never know. It'd be better to bring him in and give him an opportunity rather than just let him rot on the bench for 6 months before sending him back to Balk. He may as well play in the B team if he's not going to play consistently for Estera. So let's see if he gets some minutes with them. I guess that is all the transfers for now. So we'll quickly touch on Greeks abroad before we wrap up. So firstly, Mavropanos scored a lovely header against his former club, Arsenal, for West Ham in a 2-0 win for the Hammers. And he didn't quite celebrate. He tried to not celebrate, but you could tell, like, he was very pleased that he scored against the club that first gave him a chance at the big time, but then sort of dropped him really quickly. And typical English media labelled him as a flop, even though it was injuries as to why he wasn't given a chance. And also, he was Arsene Wenger's last signing. And also, there was the transition of, you know, Unai Emery coming in, and Arteta then didn't really rate him and sent him to Stuttgart, where he you know, became one of the best defenders in the Bundesliga, best rated defenders. And now he's at West Ham. So full credit to him for coming back to the Premier League and doing what, well, I guess scoring isn't what he does best, but, you know, scoring against your former club is a little bit of a sweet one for him. So good on Mavropanos.
As you said, it's just that I'm pissed he didn't celebrate it. Like, okay, Arsenal gave him a go in England and all that, but it's not like he's a club legend there by any means. Different if he's a boyhood fan, he followed the club. But that's not the case.
No, but you could, while he didn't celebrate, you can tell, like, he had a bit of a cheeky grin on his face. He knew what he did. And like, fair play. Like Moyes.
It's a good header.
I'm glad that Moyes is giving him a chance whenever he can, because he's starting to kind of come good for them.
Well, they've got their Moroccan centre-back off to AFCON, so he'll get some minutes now.
Yeah, for sure.
Serious minutes now in January.
Him and Ogbonna apparently played really well. I watched the full game. Not apparently. They did play really well together. And so I guess the only two other...
I enjoyed that goal.
Oh, I did too. I did too. I guess you particularly as a Liverpool fan, Michael. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Hey, even we're above them now.
Yeah. Good. Yeah. Fucking I hope it stays that way. And you stay second. Don't go first. We first. All right.
Have you seen the Sun did a thing, the ladder, without VAR this season? We'd be first.
I don't know what to believe, man, but fucking all these pages make up shit. I don't follow that crap, man. VAR's been trash all season.
Yeah.
At all levels. Not just the Prem. In all levels, as we've seen in the Super League as well. The last two players that I want to talk about is, firstly, Vangelis Pavlidis. He was in for the calendar year of 2023, he was in the top 10 scorers in all of European competition, 36 in 54 games, I believe. So really good for him. Obviously, especially in this country, they won't look anywhere below the top five, the fifth place league in UEFA coefficient. So he won't count for that regard. But overall in Europe, certainly for the top 20, he's, you know, in top 15, top 20, he's mightily impressive. And I mean, to be fair, if I'm not mistaken, the Dutch league is the fifth league in the UEFA coefficient based on their ranking this season. So he's even killing it in the European top five league. So hopefully a lot of people start to notice him a bit more than they have been. And he maybe gets another step up in his career from AZ Alkmaar. Next, obviously, it's Olympiakos bias, but it's true. Kostas Fortunis, also in the calendar year of 2023, in the top 10 players with the most assists, with 18 in all competitions. So, you know, Kostas Fortunis, I could talk about him until the cows come home, of how much I love Kostas Fortunis, but mightily impressed for him. He's showing the levels that he did a few years ago before he had his multiple ACL injuries. So pleased for him. He didn't play well against Lamia, but, you know, he's shown over the last 12 months, he's really shown his level, especially the game against West Ham being the highlight of that, I'd say. Guys, any thoughts on these two?
We've said about Pavlidis, kills it for club and a donkey for the national team.
With that, though, I saw the two games against us, as in Villa in the Conference League. They use him as the focal point. He's the fulcrum. Everything is revolving around him in that setup. We don't do that at international level for Pavlidis.
And that's we've evolved it around Bakasetas. That's the problem.
Yeah. That's right.
That's the problem. Bakasetas is a fucking mannequin. That's what he is. A mannequin poses
He's
there.
He's got a good left boot.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Just poses
good left,
there.
Left shot from distance, but no movement.
Yeah, that's it. We've evolved it around him and not guys like Pavlidis or anyone else. You can't just be one player. Sorry, let's be like two, three players. Pavlidis is definitely one. Okay? Then you got to go your midfield. I wouldn't choose Bakasetas. If I was to choose one, it would have to be Costandelias. He's the one we got to look at. Then in defense, it could be anyone. But then again, you got to play a little bit conservative. Let's go center back. Mavropanos. That's what we got to look after. Or maybe let's go a little bit younger, Kouliarakis, because he's another one that's up and coming. They're the three guys we got to look at.
Yep. No, the key to any
with
good team is spine.
Delias, Michael, very quickly, not sure what to believe in this. Probably nothing in it. Brighton linked with him, nothing or something.
We've heard that rumor before. Nothing happened.
Nothing. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't see it. But then again,
Not in January.
I know, but
that'd be foolish.
I know, but what I'm trying to say, Nico, is we didn't see Solis to Norwich. No one did.
Yeah.
So it's one of those you never know.
I think I've seen a lot of comparisons with that. And for me, Norwich City is not comparable to Brighton at the moment, because Brighton are one of the best run clubs in the world. And credit to them, they actually give younger players like Nciso opportunities. Yes. And he's been allowed to flourish because he may not play every single game, but under De Zerbi, they actually have been given minutes. So that's why I was saying in the chat, if Gonzalo Delias actually went there, I think it may be more of a 50-50 whether he succeeds there or not. But if he shows the work for De Zerbi will give him chances. So it's about it would be about him having to give it in training rather than just being like, oh yeah, he's just going to sit on the bench the whole season and do nothing. Whereas at Norwich City are a club that can't and don't know how to stay up in the Premier League. And that was always going to go against Solis. And I'm glad that he's doing better now. But yeah, that really set him back a few years going there. And even like Giannoulis, if they don't finish in the playoff places, at the very least, Giannoulis is gone. His contract's up. He'll be gone by the summer if they're still in the Championship and they don't get promoted back to the Prem.
But I believe I saw an article about Giannoulis. Giannoulis is going to see out his contract no matter what.
Yeah.
No matter if they get promoted or they don't get promoted. No matter what happens, he's going to see out his contract. And we heard about rumors with Ajax and Panathinaikos, and I'm like, oh, here we go again. One of those. I'm like, nah, it's not going to happen. He's probably going to go somewhere else, probably a German club or as predictable, Turkey. That's what I'm predicting with Giannoulis.
Surely not, though, because he's shown to be a good servant for them, particularly in the Championship. So I think he's come out with a lot of credibility and on a free transfer. I could see him going to Serie A or maybe Bundesliga, like you said, Michael. If you're going to go to Turkey, you know, no disrespect to the Turkish Super League, but you may as well just come back to Greece. Just go to one of the big four clubs if they need a left back. Because you may as well just play there. I think you never know. Even another English club might pick him up. It's whether he wants to stay in England or not. But we'll have to see, won't we? Especially on the free.
Who knows at this point? The only rumours I've heard are Panathinaikos and Ajax. Nothing else. Like, and I know how rubbish that are. There's just no truth to it. It's just articles after articles and articles. People like to throw things out there and get clicks. Yeah. Yep.
Well, speaking of clicks, thank you very much for listening. We've had a really successful 2023 with Hellas Football, as we said in the last episode of the podcast. You know, we hit over 10,000 followers on X, formerly Twitter. We're doing really well on Instagram, and we got 13,000 on Facebook. And the podcast keeps growing too, and we keep getting more followers on there. So we really appreciate all of you guys tuning in and interacting with us on social media too, because that's how, you know, we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for the people who want to know about Greek football in English. So always, you know, share our pages, share our blog, share any content that we if to anyone who wants to know more about Greek football. And also for the podcast, we'd really appreciate you, if you haven't already, giving us a 5-star review and telling all your family and all your friends to give us a 5-star review too, because that really bumps us up and gets us more listeners and keeps progressing us further. So like I said, thank you so much for the support that you guys have given us over, you know, not just 2023, all the years that Hellas Football's been active, and we hope to do the same again and go further in 2024. And yeah, thank you so much for listening today, and we'll be back next week, probably after the first leg of the Greek Cup, with between AEK Athens, Panathinaikos, Olympiakos. And Nick and Michael, thank you so much for joining me.
Yeah, and I got one last thing to say. It's a nice little message. Chronia pola, Angelos Basinas. 48 yesterday. No, yesterday. 2 days before. As we said in that post, he's the man that kicked the most important corner kick in the history of the Greek national team. For those who don't know what I'm referencing, he is the one that provided the assist for Charisteas. And this year, it's the 20th anniversary. So what we're going to do is we're going to post all the squad's birthdays, every player, we're going to wish them all the best in their happy birthdays. That's what we're
also
going to do.
Also, with Basinas, two very important penalties in his career. Yes. The opener, in the opening game against Karagounis, got the opener, but he got the all-important goal penalty against Portugal, and in a game at Leoforos in the Champions League when we beat Barcelona 1-0.
Yeah. Unforgettable moments. So happy birthday, Basinas, who turns 48.
Well, I guess you could say they gave us the gift that keeps on giving in a good way, because we always remember Euro 2004 and the success of that team, the greatest upset in football history, and that's the truth. Not it's not an opinion.
No,
thank
it's just
you.
It's just the fact of life.
It is, yeah, literally. As I keep trying to hammer into my friends who are clearly done with me after the millionth time I've said it. But yeah, thank you guys so much for listening. We always appreciate your support, and we'll catch you next time. Goodbye.